Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28, Chapter entitled Kripala's Instructions on Devotional Service, text number 34. Evam haro bhagavati pratilapta bhavo.
Evam haro bhagavati pratilapta bhavo.
Paksha drava tritaya purpulaka pramoda.
Paksha drava tritaya purpulaka pramoda.
Orkancha bashpa kalaya mukur ajamanas. Chapi chitta pati sham shanakai viyunte.
Chapi chitta pati sham shanakai
evam haro bhagavati prati lapta bhavo.
Evam haro bhagavati prati lapta bhavo.
Bhakcha dravatritaya urpulaka pramoda.
Bhatya
Pashpakalaya Muhajamanas.
Odankhya Vasakalaya Muhajamanas.
Tachyavi Chitta Bhopadisham Shanakaya Viyukte.
Tachyavi Chitta Bhopadisham Shanakaya Viyukte.
Evam Haro Bhagavati Pratilata Bhavo.
Evam Haro Bhagavati Pratilata Bhavo.
Bhakcha drava tritaya urpulaka pramoda.
Bhakcha drava tritaya urpulaka pramoda.
Otkancha bashpa kalaya muhu arjamanas.
Otkancha bashpa kalaya muhu arjamanas.
Otkancha bashpa kalaya muhu. Tachcha pichitta padisham shanakai.
Evam
thus.
Haro.
Haro. Toward Lord Hari.
Towards Lord Hari.
Bhagavati.
Bhagavati.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Pratilapta.
Pratilapta.
Developed.
Developed.
Hava.
Hava.
Bhakcha by devotional service.
My devotional service.
Dravat.
Dravat.
Nautin.
Nautin.
Hridaya.
Hridaya.
His heart.
His heart.
Utkulaka.
Utkulaka.
Experiencing standing of the hairs of the body.
Experiencing standing of the hairs of the body.
Ramoda.
Ramoda.
From excessive joy.
From excessive joy.
Mokanchya.
Mokanchya.
Occasioned by intense love.
Occasioned by intense love.
Vashpakalaya.
Vashpakalaya.
By a stream of tears.
By a stream of tears.
Mohu.
Mohu.
Constantly.
Constantly.
Ajamana.
Ajamana.
Being afflicted.
Being afflicted.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Cha.
Cha.
Abhi,
abhi,
even,
even,
chitta,
chitta,
the mind,
the mind,
padisham,
padisham,
hook,
hook,
shanakai,
shanakai,
gradually,
gradually,
viyukte,
viyukte,
withdraws,
withdraws.
Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By following this course, the yogi gradually develops pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. In the course of his progress in devotional service, the hairs of his body stand erect through excessive joy, and he is constantly bathed in a stream of tears occasioned by intense love. Gradually, even the mind, which he used as a means to attract the Lord, as one attracts a fish to a hook, withdraws from the material activity. Here it is clearly mentioned that meditation, which is an action of the mind, is not the perfect stage of samadhi or absorption. In the beginning, the mind is employed in attracting the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the higher stages, there is no question of using the mind. A devotee becomes accustomed to serving the Supreme Lord by purification of his senses. In other words, the yoga principles of meditation are required as long as one is not situated in pure devotional service. The mind is used to purify the senses, but when the senses are purified by meditation, there is no need to sit in a particular place and try to meditate upon the form of the Lord. One becomes so habituated that he automatically engages in the personal service of the Lord. When the mind forcibly is engaged upon the form of the Lord, this is called nirvijaya-yoga, or life asura. The yogi does not automatically engage in the personal service of the Lord. But when he is constantly thinking of the Lord, that is called sadhija-yoga, or living yoga. One has to be promoted to the platform of living yoga. One should engage in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, the stage of Premanjana Chirita Bhakti Manochanena can be attained by developing complete love. When one's love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service is fully developed, one always sees the Lord, even without artificially meditating on his form. His vision is divine because he has no other engagement. At this stage of spiritual realization, it is not necessary to engage the mind artificially, since the meditation recommended in the lower stages is a means to come to the platform of devotional service. Those already engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord are above such meditation. This stage of perfection is called Krishna consciousness. What is all that noise? Was all the crackling noise and tape or what is it? Is it finished or is it good? Omagyan Tvarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nanitam Jaina Tasmani Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mahaprasham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Gadati Swatamitam Pancha Kalpat Rubyascha Kukasanubhye Vacha Petitanam Avanebhyo Vaishna Bebhyo Namonama Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadhya Prabhupada Bhakta Nanda Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Ashtanga Yoga courses of Bhakti, which means it's a mechanical form of yoga which people perform to control their senses. It's not easy to control the senses. Hands up if you find it easy to control your senses. No one. Okay. So it is difficult to control your senses. If you can control your senses, what are you called? Swami or Goswami, or we call you Guru Dev. When you can control your senses, you're known as a Goswami or a Swami. Not easy to control the senses. That's why Prabhupada said that when a sannyasi comes, you bow down to the sannyasi. So why do you bow down to the sannyasi? Prabhupada said because he conquered sex desire, which is not easy to conquer. So therefore, because he's conquered that, then we bow down. We give respect. Because there's not an easy task to conquer sex desire. So one who can do that, then he is called Goswami, or Swami. So therefore, he is the master of the senses. So it's not easy to control the senses. So to control the senses, the yoga process is given. So in the previous ages, Satya Yuga especially, that was the process of self-realization. You would perform Ashtanga Yoga, which you could meditate for long, long periods. How long do the people live for?
100,000
years. So that's inconceivable. Can you imagine living for 100,000 years? We can't even imagine what that must be like. You can live for that long. And how long did they meditate for? To become perfect, 60,000 years. So can you imagine meditating for 60,000 years? How peaceful you would have to be. So if you want to understand what that must be like, then try to meditate for 60 seconds. Or 60 minutes. Or 60 days. You know, we can't even do 60 seconds these days. Right? Everyone's fidgeting and moving. It's hard for them to even control the mind for a short period of time. So what to speak of when it was previously? The process of self-realization was 60,000 years of meditation. So that's what's being spoken of in this chapter. How to attain the Lord through that process. That is not the process for Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, the process got changed dramatically. Not even was it meditation. Not that we changed meditation, we just reduced the amount of time that you have to do it for. The whole process got changed. Because it's not practical for people. And then, Srila Prabhupada, who is the Yuga Acharya, the representative of the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is Kali Yuga. So the Yuga avatar, the incarnation of Krishna in the Kali Yuga is? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then the Yuga Acharya, the person who comes to teach the process given by the Yuga avatar, is A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. So Prabhupada came as the Yuga Acharya. So, and you see practically how Prabhupada taught everyone to become Krishna conscious. So when Prabhupada first came to America, he told the devotees, how many rounds should you chant every day? How many rounds should you chant every day? What did Prabhupada say when he first came? He says, 64. And Mukunda Maharaj, who lives at New Govinda, it was looked at Prabhupada, bewildered. And Prabhupada said, okay, 32. And he still looked at him. And Prabhupada said, okay, minimum 60. And Maharaj said, okay, that's achievable. So we chant 16 rounds a day. That's achievable. We can do that. But when it comes to 32 or 64, that would be very, very difficult. The devotees control their mind for that long every day. So the process is 16 rounds. So Prabhupada gave that. And then Prabhupada, his process was, he said, we have a Iskcon sandwich. So the morning you hear and chant about Krishna, during the day you do practical seva, and in the evening you come and you hear and chant about Krishna. That was Prabhupada's formula. And then Prabhupada said, I have created so many big tasks to engage all of you. He said, because you're too much in the mode of passion and ignorance. And because we're in passion and ignorance, we need to do something practical. You know, if you just have to sit in the temple all day and read all day or chant all day, it would be very difficult for most devotees. Then Prabhupada said, okay, go and do seva. Big projects he created. You know, build the Chandradaya Mandir in Mayapur. Build the biggest temple on the planet in Mayapur. That was Prabhupada's the way to engage the devotees. Build a $2 million kitchen in the back of the temple. That's a way to engage the devotees. Distribute books. Right? Every time the devotees distribute books in 1975, they distributed more books in 1975, more books than ever before in ISKCON. And at the end of the year, then Prabhupada said, double it. So again, next year, 1976, had to be bigger than, twice as big as 1975. So that was Prabhupada's formula. Increase the engagement for the devotees. So you have to engage your senses in Krishna's service. Otherwise, it's very difficult to control the mind in Kali Yuga. And even in Kali Yuga, when devotees are engaged in Krishna's service fully, even then the mind is hard to control. The mind always has problems. And Kali Yuga is just a difficult time. Kallar jag dorsen till rajan, att stiga från vann. Kvittar där det är Krishnasta. Mukta sanga prabhuja. And Kali Yuga is difficult to control the mind because it's an ocean of thoughts. It's hard for anyone just to concentrate on spiritual life even for a short amount of time. You know, these days, when if you want to put something on Facebook or YouTube or something like that, you know, these you have to like put a 10-minute thing or a 5-minute thing or a 3-minute thing or a 2-minute thing or a 1-minute thing. Even recently, one person who we learning from in terms of marketing, he said, you have to give your message in 12 seconds. Right? But that's what it's like in Kali Yuga. If you can just capture them for 12 seconds, right, and they get the message, then that can stick in their mind. That's the nature of the age, so it's difficult for people. So therefore, we're giving practical seva to do. So, engage the senses in so many different varieties of ways. So Rupa Goswami teaches in the Bhakti Rasa Rita Sindhu, it gives you 64 ways to serve Krishna. So what are the 64 ways to serve Krishna? Chapter 6. What is chapter 6 called? Nectar of Devotion. Bhakti Rasa Rita Sindhu. What is chapter 8 called? Chapter 8 is offenses to be avoided. Chapter 6 gives you the items of devotional service. Right? 64 items, 64 angas, and how to perform bhakti. So, Rupa Goswami says the first 10, or he said the first 20, it's also mentioned, they call bhakti dwara. They're the gateway to bhakti, they're the most important. And then he says of the first 20, the first 10 are the most important. What are the first 10? One of the first 10 items of devotional service going to Rupa Goswami.
Yeah.
Into devotion. That's not the first one. And then he says of the first 10, he said the first 3 are the most important. What is the first one?
Guru Pad.
Yeah, Ado. It all begins with Guru Pad Ashraya. You have to take shelter of the Guru because you learn bhakti from a Guru. If you don't have a guru, how will you learn bhakti? It's like anything. How do you learn anything if you don't have a guru, a teacher? Just like we teach the kids, what do we teach the kids? We teach them so many things, right? But how do they learn it? We have to teach them how to do it. Right? You say, this is how you do aarti. Or this is etiquette in kirtan. Right? Not in kirtan, you can just run all over the temple anywhere you want. It's not a playground. It's temple etiquette. So we have to teach these things. They don't learn it otherwise. So you need a guru. The mother and the father are the first gurus of the children. And we need a spiritual master to teach us how to do devotional service. Not just how to do it, but what is the correct mood in doing devotional service. You need a guru to teach you that. Anyone can clean the temple. Right? Anyone, you can go around and you can sweep them up and everything like that. But back in the old days, former Prabhu, he used to walk in the 1980s after the devotee had cleaned the temple with a white glove. So he put a white glove on and then he'd walk in and then with his finger he would rub it up there on the ledges, like a different place he'd rub. And if he saw dust on the white glove, then he said, this temple is not clean. Do it again. So he teaches you what is the standard. Otherwise they won't take shortcuts in Kali. If no one's around, you don't do it properly. Are you sometimes like that in your service? No one's around, so you don't do it properly. No one's watching. I can take shortcuts. But actually, the mood of devotional service is you do it to perfection. You do it to the best of your ability. If your service is to clean the temple, then clean it properly. If you go to the stand, the Prabhupada's book stand, Prabhupada's the last stand, if you rub your finger around the bottom, see if there's dust on it. How often do devotees actually clean that? They'll clean the floor and they'll get all the petals. Even sometimes they come, after class and they've removed all the petals, but then you look under, you go to touch Prabhupada's foot, you look under his foot, there's 2 or 3 petals still there. So that's just ignorance or it's neglect of devotional service. You're not paying attention to your bhakti, your devotional service. So So what is devotional service? It can be defined as attention to detail. When you do devotional service, there must be attention to the details in devotional service. Do not be neglectful. Anyone can serve Krishna. But what is the attention to the detail? That's what Krishna is looking for. In the spiritual world, every single devotee gives maximum attention to every detail in devotional service and does the service to the best of his ability, to the highest ability. Just like yesterday, the deities were wearing garlands, amazing garlands. One devotee down at the farm, Tarini Rupa, Manajit Manigriva's wife, her mother's about to pass away. So she called us to bring garlands. So we got some garlands and did beautiful garlands. And so devotees paid attention to detail. It says in the spiritual world, every garland always has at least 5 different types of flowers. Sometimes 7, sometimes 9, like that. So intricate detail. Yeah. It takes time to make nice garlands. Yeah. This is bhakti. Anyone can make a garland. Just get some flowers and go pop, 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 and then it's done. But then to do it in such a way that it is presentable to Krishna, and you're putting your heart into the offering. Anyone can cook an offering to Krishna, but to cook it to the best of your ability, make sure nothing is burnt, and make sure everything is properly salted and properly spiced and everything to the highest degree. That should be the intention. So attention to detail is where bhakti becomes meaningful. Otherwise, we can do bhakti, but we don't become properly purified. So Rupa Goswami's definition of bhakti is anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana kamadi navritam. Anukul. What does anukul mean? Favorable. So bhakti must have two factors to be successful. It must be done favorably, that means anukul. Rupa Goswami specifically says anukul. It cannot be practical. And then he says, anushinana means it must be as Krishna desires. Once again, that word anu is there. Have you heard this word anu in our philosophy? It's repeated again and again and again. Gopi bhato pada kamalayo dasa dasa anu dasa. What does anu mean?
Follow.
What's it?
Follow. One of the meanings.
Huh?
Follow,
because
is one of the meanings?
Yeah, one of the meanings is to follow. Yeah. Probably the most. You're not going to do the plastic here, right? Put the plastic in the plastic. Otherwise, I can't concentrate. So, this is attention to detail. So, probably the most important meaning of anu would be to follow. In other words, once again, it is being taught to us that if you want to practice devotional service properly, you have to follow. In other words, you have to learn. If you don't get taught, and if you're not a good student, you don't know. Okay. One time Prabhupada said the most important verse in the whole Bhagavad Gita is chapter 4, verse 34. What was that verse again? Tatvidi prani patena padi prashtena sevyavya. You must be humble before a guru. Otherwise you can't learn. You may have a qualified guru. Someone who can teach you how to serve Krishna properly. But if your mood is not correct, you can't learn anything. So it's a two-way street. Bhakti is a two-way affair. Anu means you have to follow. You have to have the right attitude to follow. You have to be willing to learn. And Prabhupada himself, he said, of his disciples, he said, it is the nature in Kali Yuga, people don't like to be taught things. He said, even from Prabhupada himself, he said, they don't like to listen. But Prabhupada said, it is my duty, I have to instruct. But people don't like to listen. Hands up if you like authority. One person. No, just scratching my nose. One person likes authority. That's good. That person, no one likes authority. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. Why did we leave the spiritual world? Because we don't like authority. Because there's only one boss up there. Mahapurush, Adi Purush, Govinda. There's only one person in control. And we had a problem with that. That's why we're in the material world. Why are we here? We've got a problem with Krishna. Why are we still here after millions of lifetimes? We've got a problem with Krishna. Why are we still here in this lifetime? We've got a problem with Krishna. We've got a problem with our guru. We don't follow our guru properly or perfectly. We have a problem with authorities, senior devotees, Vaishnavas. We have a problem there. The only person we agree to serve is our mind. I'll do whatever you say. I'm your humble servant. Whatever the mind says, yes, I will be okay. I will do whatever you say. But we will not follow authority properly. So that is the nature of the conditioned soul. But if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to follow authority. And you can only learn to serve Krishna properly and to please Krishna when you agree to follow authority. So that is the meaning of Anu Shivana. Anu means you have to follow. Anu also means small. Anu means small, insignificant. The more you feel like that, then the easier it becomes. This is not an easy thing to do on the deepest level. It's easy to say, yes, I'll be a follower. And, you know, we're very good at external humility. Right? So we're very good at, like, you know, I will do all the, I'll accompany. But internally, to the deepest level, are we actually humble towards Krishna? So this is necessary if you want to advance in devotional service. So anu means you have to become insignificant. So bhakti means both features to be successful. You have to be able to follow. The devotional service must be pleasing to Krishna. And you only learn how to please Krishna by following the authority. And it must be favorable also. So the attitude has to be correct. Anu, not pratiku. You can do devotional service, but if you don't want to do it with enthusiasm and with love for Krishna, then it doesn't become meaningful. Just like this morning, I was coming to the temple door, and then I was about to walk into the temple to greet the deities. And then one Mataji, she ran to the door to come to see the deity. She had a smile on her face. And I could see, you know, I don't say which devotee it is, but I saw that this devotee has utsaha, means great enthusiasm to serve Krishna. Yeah. I was still thinking multiple things. Like that walking in, but you know, I think, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that. But she was just like fixed, just could see the spontaneous attraction to Krishna. So that is what we're aiming for, spontaneous attraction to Krishna. So here, it is saying, when we do devotional service, it must be done in the right way. And we're very fortunate, because in Kali Yuga, it's very easy to serve Krishna. Because Prabhupada has given so many different varieties and ways to serve Krishna. Prabhupada was the Yuga Acharya. He was expert in using everything in Krishna's service. Unlimited opportunities to do service. Okay, you don't like doing this service, then do this service. You don't like doing this service, then do this service. You don't like doing that. There's so many opportunities. And the guru, the Prabhupada says, he studies the psychophysical makeup of the disciple. He sees what is your makeup, and the senior devotees, who are the representatives of the spiritual master, they engage you according to your nature in Krishna's service. And Prabhupada says, if you are doing a particular service, you can take it that this service has been given directly to you by Krishna himself. If it comes from an authority. That means that's exactly the service Krishna wants you to do. At one time Prabhupada said, if the devotees don't fit in anywhere, then you're in the temple, you could sign them a service, do this service, do that service, do that service. If they can't fit in, then Prabhupada said, send them to the plough department. Which means to the farm. So obviously the main devotees are fitting in because we haven't got someone down on the farm. I could not fit in anywhere else, but they say go to the farm. And, but that's nature. Prabhupada had such a vision that he had restaurants, he had farms, he had temples, multifarious preaching programs, so many different ways. You know, you could be an artist for Krishna, learn to paint. As soon as Prabhupada met somebody, he would always say, so what do you do? What is your expertise? Then engage the person accordingly. Someone was a scientist, okay, joined the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Okay. In the final days of Prabhupada being here on the planet, 1976 and 77, a great deal of Prabhupada's emphasis was forming the Bhaktivedanta Institute. To be able to preach to the scientific community, to the intellectual community. Prabhupada placed great emphasis on that. Because he said, if we can convert the scientists and the philosophers and the intellectuals, then it'll make our life so much easier. But we're seeing that's not such an easy thing to do. Because the nature of the world is there, so atheistic, it's very difficult to accept Krishna. So there are so many ways to serve Krishna. So this verse is saying, serve Krishna according to your nature. And if you do that, if you engage the service, the senses in the service of Krishna, then what happens to the mind? The mind becomes purified. And then naturally you think of Krishna. And that's Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, to always think of him. So I'll stop here. We'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. When you're more advanced and you have a taste for serving Krishna, then whatever the service is, you'll be enthusiastic to do the service. You put your effort into the service. So if your mind is going off, then it could be that you're just not purified enough yet. So maybe you just have to advance and purify, and then your mind will stay more fixed on Krishna. It also could be that the service is not intense enough yet. Or the service attitude is not intense enough yet. Because Rupa Goswami specifically says devotional service must be intense to purify the soul. So it has to be intense, otherwise you don't get purified. So maybe you're taking it too easy in devotional service. So if you take it easy, you can advance, but you won't advance. You advance in Krishna consciousness, especially in ISKCON. You advance when you take up responsibility. You have to take up responsibility on behalf of ISKCON. Like you look in the old days, Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu. Used to be Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj. He was the GBC here in Australia, so Prabhu Vishnu. So he joined the temple, and he'd been in the temple for 3 days. Right? And Prabhupada said, go and open another temple. That's what it was like. Responsibility. Take some responsibility and go on. And then for years, Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu, then he preached and he spread Krishna consciousness in many places. And then in Nepal, where Rasik is from, and Bangladesh. So in 1977, when Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu came to meet Prabhupada, Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, any money he needs for his preaching in Nepal and Bangladesh, you give it to him from the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. He never said that to any other person. He said, any money he needs, and you give it to him to spread those. So, for the very beginning, 3 days, Prabhupada said, go and open a temple in Ireland or wherever it was. He joined in London. And then, because he took on responsibility for Prabhupada over the years, he opened different temples in different places and preached. Then Prabhupada always encouraged him, go and preach there. And then he said, any money you need, I'll give it to you for my own account to open the temples. And then he spread all through Russia, he spread. So it's the point, you don't advance unless you take up some responsibility. If you just take it easy in devotional service, you get purified, but it will be slow. You have to take up some. So maybe it's not intense enough, I don't know. You have to judge for yourself. I'll speak to your guru. Say, I'm not feeling I'm getting purified in my mind, so what should I do? See what he says. Is that okay? Any other question? Yes, sir.
No, when you said about responsibility, being as a part of the temple, we see and then we take responsibility. If someone comes and tells us you should do, then we take responsibility. Sometimes, you know, when people say if someone has told you, then you can do it, otherwise don't get into the matter. So how do you tell these things? How should we then like?
Do you have any examples to make it a bit more clear? Simple example.
Not getting into my mind, but I'm just putting the thing.
The general principle. Yeah, so the general principle. Prabhupada said several things. Prabhupada, one thing he said is, everyone's servant is no one's servant. So, you know, if you have a service, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he said, what is the verse where he says about you perform your duty? Better to do your duty faultily than do another person's duty perfectly. And that's that verse in the Gita where Krishna says it. You know that verse? 18th chapter? It's not coming to my mind. Yeah, so what does Krishna say? He says, better to perform your duty. 18th chapter. Right? Better to perform your duty faultily than try to do another person's duty even perfectly. So if you're given a particular service by your authority, so you're meant to be doing some service and you go off and do another service, that's not authorized. So you have to do the service that you're given according to the authority. And as Prabhupada said, everyone's servant is no one's servant. So you're doing, that's not done, so you're going to start doing that. No, that's not done, so you're going to start doing that. But what are you actually achieving? Right, sit on your service. And you can see something's not getting done. They go to the person who's responsible, you know, temple commander or whoever the person's responsible, and say, this is not getting done. What should we do about it? Right. And then act like that. So act together, cohesively, cooperatively, and get the services done properly. Is that answer? Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so Prabhupada ki.